Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines this Saturday, December the 2nd, Pope Francis calls on world leaders gathered for the COP28 climate conference to eliminate fossil fuels. Israel continues to launch rocket attacks on targets in the Gaza Strip. And at a meeting at the United Nations headquarters in New York, the Holy See calls for collaboration to bring about nuclear disarmament. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Cholik. Now turning to our top story today. Pope Francis has called on world leaders attending the COP28 UN climate summit to reach an essential breakthrough on global warming that includes the elimination of fossil fuels. The Pope had planned to attend the conference in person, but a lung inflammation prevented him from travelling, and so his address was delivered by the Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin. Linda Bordoni reports.
Sadly, I am unable to be present with you as I had greatly desired. Even so, I am with you because time is short, Pope Francis said in a message read to the COP28 assembly by Cardinal Parolin.
Now, more than ever, the future of us all depends on the present that we now choose. The destruction of the environment is an offence against God.
The summit comes in the wake of the apostolic exhortation Laudate Deum, in which Pope Francis calls policymakers to task, decrying the fact that pledges made during the COP15 in Paris to limit global warming have not been honoured. In his speech on Saturday, the Pope referred to the main themes of Laudate Deum and to the landmark Laudato Si encyclical on the care for our common home. And he appealed directly to delegates at the meeting, saying it's essential that there be a breakthrough that is not just a partial change of course in Dubai. May this COP proved to be a turning point, he said, demonstrating a clear and tangible political will that can lead to a decisive acceleration of ecological transition. To achieve this, the Pope added, it is necessary to move firmly ahead with greater energy efficiency, renewable energy, the elimination of fossil fuels, and a change of a greedy and consumeristic lifestyle. The Holy Father called for debt forgiveness for poor countries that are less responsible for greenhouse gases but suffer more than the rich ones. May we be attentive to the cry of the earth. May we be sensitive to the hopes of the young and the dreams of children. We have a grave responsibility to ensure that they not be denied their future. The climate run amok, Pope Francis concluded, is crying out to us to halt this illusion of omnipotence. Let us once more recognize our limits with humility and courage as the sole path to a life of fulfillment.
Let us leave behind our divisions and unite our forces. And with God's help, let us emerge from the dark night of wars and environmental devastation in order to turn our common future into the dawn of a new and a radiant day.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
And there are some encouraging initial signs that the Pope's message may have made an impact. It's currently featured on the homepage of the websites of the BBC, the New York Times and some other news outlets. Now, one of the participants in COP28 is SIDSE, a Catholic network of social justice organisations working for transformational change to end poverty and inequalities. The network has been involved for years in advocating for sustainable development and climate change action. Josiane Gauthier, SIDSE's Secretary General, spoke to Vatican News' Marine Henriot about climate change action priorities, her expectations from COP28, and what has been achieved so far.
At this particular COP, we've zeroed in on a few collective priorities. We're very much following and have been fighting for a loss and damage fund. So we're very eager to see that continue to evolve and strengthen. We're monitoring the global stocktake, of course, because that's a really important way to check in on where we are on the implementation and the work packages. And this will give us really an impulse for the future, for the next steps, the next priorities. We're also working on agriculture, sustainable and just agriculture. Because the food systems are really part of the problem, and also it's a high impact area for ecological justice, and it's also people who are very impacted themselves by climate change. And then, of course, fossil fuel phase out. Most civil society actually have agreed that that is the main thing to put ourselves behind at this COP.
Are you optimistic for this COP?
I think that What will be good out of this COP is if indeed the voices of communities in the Global South are heard. We have a loss and damage fund. This is a huge win for civil society and organizations such as ours who've been fighting for a while. Now we need to really make sure that it gets funded, that it's fair, that it's accessible, that the governance, we get that right. So we're going to be watching it very closely and really encourage countries to support this into a real mechanism of repair. But we also have to get out of the fossil fuels. So if we can get some kind of statement that we're moving in that direction, we will be encouraged.
That was Josiane Gauthier, the Secretary General of SIDSI, a Catholic network of social justice organizations working for transformational change to end poverty and inequalities, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Marine Henriot. And so we heard there about SIDSI, which is one of the many Catholic organizations present at COP28. Another is the Laudato Si movement, a community of Catholics responding to the Pope's call to action on climate change. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Lindlyn Momer, the advocacy director of the movement, said that the organization, in harmony with Pope Francis, is calling for a shift in perspective and will remind leaders and negotiators of humanity's place within creation.
Pope Francis is very clear in Laudato Deum that this whole thing about technology advancing and, you know, artificial intelligence, he says that, you know, we need to think of human beings in a different way, not as autonomous and omnipotent and limitless. We need to think of ourselves in a much humbler way, in a much fruitful way, connected to the world around us. And he calls on the faithful, you know, the faithful, those who are people of goodwill, that our relationship with one another needs to care for creation. So one of the messages that we will be bringing at COP is reminding ourselves, for us to remind even the state parties and the delegates, that the human being is not of creation, part of this divine creation. And in that, we should care for creation just the way the world has been singing an infinite love song. So we should find a way to sing back a love song to our common home. That is what we will be bringing to COP. And most all the conversations, more all the technical things around fossil fuel mitigation, what is that love song that we sing back to our common home? And it's a love song of care. It's a love song of regarding ourselves as a humbler part of creation, not an autonomous part. And this is what we need to remind our leaders. This is what we need to remind negotiators going into all these negotiations, that we all are just part of creation. And our deeds and decisions at COP28, this very key COP where we're taking a global stock tip of what we've done, which is very poor, should reflect something else. It should reflect the part that we actually are singing a love song back to our common home.
That was Lindlyn Momer, the advocacy director for the Laudato Si movement. And just some updates on what's happening in Dubai for that COP28. Countries and oil companies convened for the climate discussions have committed to substantial advancements in combating global warming through an expansive new energy declaration. Around 100 countries have vowed to triple the global usage of renewable energy by 2030. Additionally, 50 oil and gas companies, including the prominent Saudi entity Aramco, have undertaken to cease contributing to greenhouse gases by 2050. However, this commitment only addresses emissions coming from production and not the combustion of fossil fuels, leading some critics to assert that it lacks substantive measures to effectively address climate change. Moreover, the absence of penalties for unmet targets and the non-binding nature of these assurances have raised some concerns. Professor Bill Hare, the CEO of Climate Analytics and one of the main authors of UN climate change reports, emphasised the imperative for the oil and gas sector to transition away from fossil fuel production, deeming it the primary concern, and he said nothing else really matters in the end. As well as contributing to that debate, on behalf of Pope Francis, the Vatican's Cardinal Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, has been using his time at COP28 to meet one-on-one with various world leaders. The contents of those discussions are private, but before the conference began, the Holy See Press Office said that they were expected to cover not just climate change, but also topics which overlap with it, such as poverty and the war in Israel and Gaza. The Holy See has repeatedly called for a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, but as Nathan Morley reports, the temporary truce that broke down yesterday shows no signs of returning to force.
The Israeli military is warning civilians in some areas to evacuate. On Friday, fighting resumed after a week-long ceasefire expired. Israel and Hamas have blamed each other for failing to agree an extension. Elon Levy is an Israeli government spokesman.
The hostage release pause could have been extended to get more hostages out, and the government of Israel had already approved a sufficient list of Palestinian violent criminals in Israeli jails to proceed with an exchange for at least another 2 days. Having chosen to hold on to our women, Hamas will now take the mother of all thumpings.
The Hamas-run health ministry says more than 193 people have been killed since the bombing resumed. The Israeli military, for its part, says it struck more than 400 targets across the Gaza Strip. Air raid sirens were also heard in parts of Israel, but rockets fired from Gaza were intercepted before hitting any targets. Separately, aid lorries have been allowed into Gaza from Egypt for the first time since the ceasefire ended yesterday. Around 50 vehicles passed through the Rafah crossing. Tommaso Della Lunghi is from the Red Crescent. He says that despite the fact that aid is moving, it's not enough.
We are talking about a situation where food is still lacking, access to water is lacking, and access to health is barely possible or almost impossible. So, of course, having only 50 trucks entering per day, if this is the number, and we do hope that it will change, it's really kind of a drop in the ocean.
Elsewhere, an Israeli missile attack hit military targets near Damascus early Saturday, according to Syrian state television. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And finally, to round off what has been quite a busy day for Vatican diplomacy, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations, has addressed the UN meeting on nuclear disarmament. The Archbishop's address to the second meeting of states parties to the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, quite a mouthful, which took place in the United Nations headquarters in New York, focused in particular on the implementation of gender provisions within the treaty. Francesca Mola reports.
Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, spoke in New York at the second meeting of states parties to the treaty signed in 2017 and ratified by 56 countries around the world. The Archbishop centered his address on one fundamental aspect of the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons, implementing the gender provisions of the treaty. Archbishop Caccia noted that for a long time it was believed that nuclear weapons affected all exposed victims equally, but that recent scientific evidence has shown that the radiation effects of nuclear weapon detonations are disproportionately affecting women and girls. Archbishop Caccia noted that the treaty rightly recognizes this and calls for the provision of assistance to victims to be provided in a manner that takes into account the particular needs of each individual. Girls exposed to radiation from birth to age 5 are almost 10 times more likely to develop cancer compared to the typical European male. Further research into the factors causing this disproportionate impact on women and children is essential, says Archbishop Caccia, such as on intergenerational consequences like maternal and fetal health effects leading to fertility loss, miscarriages and birth defects. Archbishop Caccia also highlighted the importance of a strong scientific basis for effective implementation of the treaty, especially regarding obligations related to women and girls. Concluding his address, Archbishop Caccia proposed rethinking the inclusion of a gender focal point in the treaty's structure, suggesting that the responsibility for implementing gender provisions be given to the co-chairs of the informal working group instead. I am Francesca Merlo.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on the Vatican's contribution to the ongoing COP climate conference and many other stories besides, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va, and you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Giuseppe Mariello in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tolik. Goodbye.